Talk.
Welcome to 2020. Welcome to March 26, 2020. We got Geek Talk back in the house. This is Kay Shea right here. No, who am I? I don't know. I'm Kevin. Geek Talk. Who are you?
Hey, I'm Matt. How you doing?
What you doing?
Well, not playing any gigs.
Yeah, me neither. I'm not playing any gigs. I'm sitting at home. I'm practicing because we're both musicians and we're on Geek Talk. What is Geek Talk? What are we doing here?
Well, Geek Talk is a show on the radio where people can call and talk about their life as a gig maker. What do you do when you play a gig? You know, ask around. Tell us, what's gig life like? But right now, gig life as we know it is on pause because of the coronavirus.
So that means that I guess we sort of are back in business on Geek Talk because we want to do kind of a conversation with people out there who are trying to figure out how to work through all this chaos right now.
Yes, exactly. We're learning all together about this new moment of indeterminacy.
And that indeterminacy leads to some kind of resolution and unity amongst all of us trying to work together, which in a way is kind of a beautiful thing.
Yes, if that's the end result, that we find some new beauty in this, I guess that's one version of positivity.
That's probably all we can get out of this whole thing is some kind of unity and of loving each other. You know, let's all be in love again. You know, let's find each other's
points. But when Geek Talk was last on the radio, which was in 2018, everyone was playing gigs. You know, some musicians played 3 gigs a night, and they called in and talked about it, and that was what the show was. So it was essentially car talk for gigs. But
yeah.
Right now, when we don't have any gigs, we want to address some immediate situations. And you can still call us up at 518-622-2598. That's again 518-622-2598. That's WGXC 90.7. And the first thing that's in this moment of indeterminacy is, how are musicians going to get paid?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I was just talking to my friend Lucas out there, and he's a lot of musicians now are working remote in terms of teaching lessons. And, you know, that's kind of really all you can do other than editing sessions or trying to get soundtrack work, any kind of remote work like that, editing films. But also a friend of mine was doing a live concert series every night, and he put up a tip jar with his PayPal address on a placard behind him as he was doing nightly shows. But he was getting tips. So that's another way to do things. But yeah, it's difficult. What do you think?
Well, I think, you know, we have this immediate situation with this federal relief bill that just came down the pipeline that now expands the coverage to musicians if they are people that file independent contractor 1099 declarations with the organizations that pay them. So in theory, unemployment insurance will be available to independent musicians as long as you are a 1099 person. But a lot of musicians in all different communities are cash only. So again, nothing exactly via the federal government is going to take care of the gigging musician. That's for sure.
So in general, as a musician, say working in New York, playing bar gigs, we can't get unemployment for, if you file taxes and everything, just in general at a different time period, I don't think you can get unemployment unless...
Well, that's what I'm saying is right now this new federal law that just came down is going to give at least some potential emergency monies towards people that are independent contractors. That's at least what I understand it is to be. But let's hear from you, 518-622-2598. If you're out there, we want to hear from you and how you're coping in gig world. But
what you're doing, you know, maybe how are you keeping your energy up during all this? You jumping rope? You using the rubber band trying to lift some weights at home? What are you doing?
Personally with me, I'm painting my basement.
Uh-oh, you got to be careful. What kind of fumes you got? What kind of paint you got?
Well, I'm using a latex paint that has a biodegradable system ensconced in it. So with that
biodegradable system ensconced in it.
Yeah, there's a I've got this
that's a good song title.
Yeah, biodegradable system ensconced in it. Paint that's like, the basement.
That's a new genre.
It might be. I mean, but so I'm painting down there because I'm thinking that at least I'm getting some sort of like motion with my hands up and down in the same way that maybe I would be, I don't know, playing a saxophone or something.
Or in the same way that maybe the Karate Kid would when he was learning how to paint, do, you know, from Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah, that's kind of like the genesis of why I'm painting is because of Miyagi-san. So, I mean, that's not a bad place to be to follow the rules of the Karate Kid during this pandemic. I mean, are you watching any new movies in general radio listening land that you're kind of trying to base your life off right now? That Karate Kid would be okay in that realm.
Also the updated Karate Kid. That's you know, see them how they are now. The reality has set in, you know, let's like move on beyond these old days of yore, you know, let's see Danielson in the
Will the season 3 of The Karate Kid on YouTube be about the pandemic? Like, what are the worst creative experiences of Hollywood going to be about life in the pandemic? Is it going to be Daniel LaRusso in season 3 of his new Karate Kid show?
Or is it going to be Dustin Hoffman coming back from the quarantine movie or whatever it's called? And he except now he's the panda guru.
He's a panda. Yeah, now Dustin Hoffman is a panda after he's been quarantined because he got the disease and it transformed it into a panda.
Well, that's the Jack Black movie, The Panda. What's that thing called? Everybody knows what I'm talking about. I can hear that. Actually, that's the thing. We're on the radio, but we can feel people. You know, we can feel the energy out there.
And but people are,
should I call or should I not call?
518-622-2598.
Because if you feel the energy, and I know you do, and I do, and we're feeling that energy, so just tickle those buttons. That's all you got to do now. You don't even need to tickle them now. You just tap on them.
Well, one thing that is like, you know, a potent source of potential short-term monies for musicians in the creative and improvised music community, which is a place that we know a little bit about, is the organization New Music USA. And you can go to newmusicusa.org, and they have fundraised $130,000 and more in the last week to create a fund to support new creative improvised music freelancers whose livelihood has been threatened as a result of performances which have been canceled during the COVID-19 crisis. So for now, at least $260,500 emergency grants will be made available to applicants who meet the below criteria. So
yeah,
that's one thing on the immediate. And here are the three pieces of eligibility. Here, Kevin, let's go through these with yours. Let's see if you would be eligible. Number one.
Oh, yeah, this is good.
Yeah.
Ask me as though I'll fill it out in my own mind.
Yeah, you could fill it out on your own time even, not just in your own mind.
But there's a deadline. We have to fill it out tonight. Or no, this is for is this the thing 31st or whatever? This is
the thing that starts on – you can join – like applications to the Solidarity Fund will be accepted beginning at 12 p.m. Eastern time on March 31st.
Yeah, and it's probably going to shut down that site.
I mean, I don't. How many improvising musicians are going to be? Are there to take to shut down a website?
Why is that a joke? That's the beginning of a joke. How many?
No, that's a general question. Like. Are there 100,000 improvising musicians in the world? And if they all emailed New Music USA at the exact same time, 12 p.m. on March 31, would that shut down the site?
Well, I'm thinking that I think it's beyond just improvisers, though. I think it's also in the new music community or composers community. So,
well, this says specifically new creative and improvised music communities.
So, okay, I saw a little video about that, and people were all composers, Du Yan and things like that, were kind of promoting this.
Right. So then that's a good question. Like, that's going to expand the amount of people. So maybe are we up to 300,000 people that could crash the site?
I'm just think people are so desperate now. And
I understand.
But we should all do. We should all try. Yes. You know, I mean, like, we are desperate. We need help, you know?
Well, let's play this. Let's do this eligibility quiz with you, Kevin.
Okay.
But first, 518-622-2598. 2598. Tell us how you're coping with gig life in this new era of indeterminacy.
Yeah, how you're keeping positive.
Yeah.
What are you practicing? You learning some new skills? What are you working on? What are you reading?
You know what I did today? I played the piano to Neil Young's Fireside Chat.
Oh, is that something that you can make available? Did you record it?
I didn't record it. I could go back and like I could redo it again because it's fun to play music with Neil.
That's what I thought. I've been seeing videos. Whoa, people are online playing along to Ahmad Jamal, or you know, there's ways you can learn brush technique. I'm a drummer, so playing along to jazz records too, things like that are really good. That's how people learn to play get the feel of the music and learn how to play.
Yeah, those, see, I play too many notes all the time, and so I'm interested with Neil of learning how to play the minimal amount of notes just to serve the song.
Yeah, I that's difficult to do. Some people think that's easier to do, but I think for people like us, I think we grew up watching too many cartoons.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yes. Like you would jump, you know, like channel jumping every 5 seconds.
But yeah, so, it's like time yeah. Back to the Future, hopping in and out of time.
518-622-2598. Call Matt and Kevin on Gig Talk and tell us how you're doing with gig life in the era of indeterminacy. But let's do this eligibility. So,
okay, let's do the quiz.
Yeah, question number one.
Yeah.
Are you a musician working in new, creative, experimental, or improvised music? And are you a freelance artist, i.e. non-salaried by an institution?
I would like to say that yes. The answer is yes.
Okay, so number one is yes. Number two. Just for clarification, folks, number one was yes.
I think people are dying to know. Clarification, it's yes. Okay.
Yeah, number two. Have you had a COVID-19 related cancellation of projects or performances involving music by a living composer?
Yes, although that's a bit of a confusing, because I guess if it's improvised and we're all composers, does that mean all of us?
Yeah, I frankly find that question confusing too, because how does this work for me in my situation? Because maybe I don't have a gig canceled by a living composer, but maybe because I am responsible for moving the backline equipment of a lot of clubs and venues that fund living composers, and then I've had a cancellation because of that, is the fact that I can't move a Fender guitar amp in a van count in this situation?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I mean, I guess I can email them, which maybe I will do.
But also, what about if you have any gig that's canceled and you are going to improvise on stage? Wouldn't that mean that you were eligible if you were all you're a living composer?
Yeah, you're a living we're all living composers
of our own lives.
Lives, yeah.
When not just music.
Yeah, not just music. When you go to the supermarket, you have to make decisions.
Yeah,
composing.
It's like we're all in our own video game.
Yeah. Are you going to cook with quinoa if there's no quinoa? Are you going to cook with couscous if there's no couscous? Are you going to cook with brown rice if there's no brown rice? Are you going to find some basmati rice if there's no basmati? Do you go down to macaroni if there's no macaroni? Do you find what's next, a potato? Yeah.
I would have to go straight to the hemp hearts, the hemp seeds with the hulled seeds, because it's a complete protein and you get all those omegas in there too. I'd throw in some chia. I'd add a little nutritional yeast, you know, but definitely the quinoa. I'd find that quinoa, although you want to make sure it's sourced correctly, you know what I mean? You want to make sure it's fair trade and all that, or maybe it's grown in Australia. Like, you can get chia seeds grown in Australia, but then what are you doing for the planet? You know, it's got to be shipped here. All these questions are, you know, they're all weighing on all of us. So is it better to just eat local? What would that be?
Right.
Upstate New York, let's call our friend Tiana.
Yeah, well, Tiana's and her farm 607 CSA is providing a lot of materials for people that are hungry.
And that's a beautiful thing. So maybe that's the way to do it. That's what we got to do. So call the 607 Farms, yeah. The Star Farm Route.
So you know what? If, in fact, like, you're a living composer, if you're cooking a meal, you might be able to apply for this fund too.
I guess so. I mean, Well, that's what's question number three then? So, because this is narrowing it down to.
Yeah. So let's say yes for number two.
Okay.
And number one was yes as well.
So that's two yeses.
Yeah, two yeses so far. Number three, is your immediate livelihood threatened by these cancellations?
Yes.
So
I had some good gigs that were canceled. So I had some money coming in through. Right now, I got some money through editing and some other kind of home related stuff I can do here. But also, you know, in terms of gigs, yeah, that's the majority of the money coming in. So, yeah, that stuff hurt me.
Okay. Well, yeah. Man, I'm sorry to hear that. I mean, for me, like, this is the one time where I'm not specifically bummed out that I don't have a booking agent. Because
didn't you have gigs and were you going to do – you had some traveling coming up or something?
I had traveling coming up, but that travel was going to be at best break even because –
Well, but you – I don't know. It's still like – now it's part of the whole thing though. I mean, that could have led to something else or – I don't know.
Oh, absolutely. No, man. I mean, yeah, don't – I'm not down. I'm not happy that I'm not getting to do the gigs I was supposed to do. But yeah. – So, yes, number three, is your immediate livelihood threatened by these cancellations? So, Kevin, yeah. You said yes. I said yes. So if you answered yes to all these questions, you are eligible to apply for a $500 emergency assistance grant from the New Music Solidarity Fund.
Huh. And so, where is this information? Where
you
know, do people
if you have
find
any questions about this, you can send an email to where did it go? To – hold on.
Where'd it go?
Are we still on the air?
Yeah, I'm on the air.
Did I lose you guys?
No, you must be on the air because I can see a little image of you on the air, or maybe it's a blurry image. There you are.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, as I said, yeah, you can email solidarity@newmusicusa.org.
But I want the website.
I want to know where some of our friends are. Like, where's Vinny? Where's
the Bridge King of Diker Heights?
Yeah, the Bridge King of Diker Heights, Vinny Bianchi. How's Vinny doing on gigs right now? I mean, how's that, all of our friends doing? Is anyone out there that isn't playing gigs and you wish you were playing gigs? But what did you do when you found out your last gig was canceled? Or what was your last gig you played? What was your last gig, Kevin?
Yeah, my last gig was it was a good gig. It was a good day. I ended up doing some improvisatory music with friends over at the Bushwick Public House in Bushwick. And we played a little, how shall I call it? It was Sandy Ewan on guitar, and it was Stephen Gauci playing the saxophone and me playing drums. And I brought my pedal, my voice pedal, which is a looper pedal. And so I was playing drums, but I also was able to affect my voice. Because sometimes playing with Sandy, it's really fun to get, you know, a little louder than I would normally with an acoustic bass player. So that made me miss playing gigs.
Just... Matt's MacBook Pro.
what's going on there? Is that your mom?
That's Alexa. Oh yeah.
Mommy's calling.
No, Alexa's. We can ask Alexa questions about gig life. But no, keep going on the story
of my great gig. Well, yeah. All I'm trying to say is, yeah, we played this gig and it went really well because it's an opportunity. That's what we all miss, is an opportunity to express ourselves and go deep into something. And it's a soulful, spiritual kind of process that we work in, and it keeps us peaceful, it keeps us positive. And without that, you know, it's difficult to just maintain the outlook of you know, good things to come. And
I mean, I think you've been playing that, like, so that Monday night gig for you, that's not just a one-time gig, right?
Yeah, so that's a weekly thing, and I don't make much money on that gig, but I do make a little bit, you know. I get some money here and there, and so that's lost money too.
But it's also, yeah, but that gig is really about the regularity of being in a working band, right?
Yeah, that's the other thing. And, you know, even in terms of money, like, let's say, yeah, I get a little bit of money for that gig, but also in terms of developing music together, you can't really do that right now either in real time, because the latency of this kind of remote work is – it makes it sort of impossible to improvise with each other. I mean, you can do it in your own unique way, but, yeah, we're missing all that too, the interaction in real time with each other. So
right.
That's a drag too.
There's no hugs after the set.
Well, yeah, but I, you know, I'm kind of like anti the hug thing. But
oh, really?
Not really the hug. I guess more of the kiss thing. You know, you're like, you go to Europe and you got to kiss someone on the side of the cheek.
Yeah.
I like that. And that's what I miss. But now when I go back, I'm going to be kissing people left and right. You know, it's going to be old school loving.
Yeah, it's going to be a smooch fest.
I'm just afraid, yeah, that it's kind of like are people just going to go nuts after this and it's going to be we're going to have an issue with.
Yeah, I mean, like.
Like, what's going to happen in 9 months is all I'm saying. Like, after this all gets back together.
Yeah.
It's going to be like the baby boomers, you know.
Well, like, I mean, yeah, it used to be in New York, you'd have like someone would win the title of Sir Gigs-a-Lot, and that would be someone that played 3 gigs in a night, maybe. But once like that first week of gigs comes back, how much competition is there going to be amongst people? Are they going to be cutting each other down for gigs? Like, if there's one bass player or one drummer or one trumpet player or one guitar player, is that guitar player going to be so hungry for gigs they book at 2 p.m., 4, 6, 8, 10, and midnight? Or are they going to say, no, what? I can just play 1 gig.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, it's just people are desperate. So in desperate times, people are going to get ruthless. And they already, you know, sometimes in the music community, that's hopefully right now it's bringing us together because there can be ruthless people within the community. And we want to move beyond that, you know. And I hope that a period like this will bring us all together. So when we come back to actually playing with each other, it's not like a hateful environment of people trolling each other and things like that, which I haven't seen so far amongst what we're doing. I think people are keeping positive, and that puts me in a good mood.
Point. Yeah, that's a good point, is that I've seen a lot less criticism of like what the gig community is doing while we don't have gigs.
Right. It's sudden.
Yeah, it's like a detente.
A what?
A detente.
Is that a French word?
Yeah, you don't know the word détente?
Détente? Is that how you say it?
Détente.
Is that détente. the root of detention?
Yeah, the root of detention is détente.
Well, someone out there, there must be a French-speaking person out there who can correct us. So,
what? I mean, let's talk about gigs in France. Like, that's the realm that I want to get towards after all of this is over, is that if you play 30 gigs officially a year, which means, like, you're not playing, like, a venue that only, like, sells wine from a barrel, but they got to have, like, wine in a refrigerator. Like, if the wine's coming out of a refrigerator, that means the gig's official. And if you play enough of those kind of gigs a year, you actually get a salary.
I'm slow to understand that. Wait, slow that one down again?
Yeah, I'll reframe that. And 518-622-2598. I know people are out.
Caller, you're on the air. We've got a call.
Oh, yeah, Gig Talk.
Hi, welcome to Gig Talk. How can we help you?
You can tell me where my next paycheck is going to come from, could you?
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, sir.
Well, I'm on the scene. I'm kind of DIY, you know, do it myself, DIM, depending on your perspective, DIY, DIM. So I'm kind of doing it myself, however you may choose to, you know, expand the abbreviation. And I'm do it myself. I play these gigs, and I play for pennies, sometimes nickels. And now I got nothing. I don't know who's going to come and see me. And what am I going to do when the clubs reopen? I'm going to start calling, saying, hey, can I have my next gig? But this other guy's going to be emailing.
That's a good question, is like, how thirsty are people going to act to get gigs once gigs come back? Like, do you think it's a better strategy to be patient?
I don't think so. I don't know. I think that everyone is going to have a very, they're going to like fight to contain their patience and their strategy, but they're not going to be able to control themselves, and they're just going to send out the email very humbly, very politely. Maybe they'll preface it with a little bit of like, hey, I know you just opened again and things are crazy, but I'm just wondering. They'll say just so that they can soften the request. I'm not wondering. I'm just wondering. So
this is a good opportunity, sir, to like go through some of the ideas I've had for solutions it's someone exactly like you, because we want to get towards solutions.
Yeah, yeah.
So
solution-based. We got to be solution-based.
Right. Currently, in your regular gig life, how far do you generally have to travel to play the gig?
approximately 3 miles by automobile.
You have an automobile, and you got to go 3 miles.
Probably 3 miles.
Okay. Well, then in your case, like, what I'm suggesting is that the problem with current the gig life of the past was that almost all of the venues had to deal with the infrastructure of commercial expenses.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I'm saying is, what if the government owned the site of the gig?
Okay.
And so if the government owns the site of the gig, that means all of the overhead expenses aren't there, and then the club isn't going to take the money out of the door, isn't going to take the money out of the sound person. And so if even if 10 people show up at your gig and they all pay $10 each, you make $100.
That sounds great, but what government are you talking to?
Well, I'm talking I'm suggesting that
yeah, what government are you talking to? I want to know too.
Well, yeah, actually,
you have some insider information.
In you know, when we had the last laissez-faire situation of economics drop
another French word.
Yeah, exactly. Laissez-faire. Yeah, I'm quite a French ouais le bibliothèque.
Ooh. Right?
Yeah. When in the 1930s, after the Great Depression started, the Workers Program Association created a federal arts program that literally
okay.
paid artists to make murals and paintings and all sorts of like public artworks across this great country. Did you know about that?
All kinds
artists,
of jokes,
artists were yeah, paid $24 a week, which these days would be $400 a week.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I'm saying is the federal government of USA, America, actually used to pay artists to do things.
I mean, they still do. There are government subsidies for all kinds of arts, just not for DIY music.
Right, and so that's why I'm saying that the way that arts money gets redistributed should go actually directly towards individual people. So, like, for example, one idea I had for the way digital could be a good source of income for local artists is, why don't you write a song about your block that you live on?
Ah, yeah, yeah.
Why don't we get the first two lines of that song right now? Kevin will give a beat, and I'll play a little, and I'll sing, make a little piano lick, and you can sing.
Okay, okay. Well, this place used to be for gangs, but now it's chiming and spinning with bangs. Okay, you got it. That's all I got.
I didn't hear you, the caller and their lyric. Are you still there, caller?
Oh, I sang two lines. That's what you asked for.
I didn't hear the line. Oh, man. Can you repeat the line a little bit more clearly?
I said this neighborhood used to be for gangs, and now it's chiming and spinning with bangs.
Oh, that's good. Okay,
yeah.
So let's try that again.
This neighborhood used to be for gangs. Now it's chiming and spinning with bangs.
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
Exactly. So your song right there in my plan would make you $500.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
$500 right there. Just see, he just made it right there.
Yeah, just
okay,
right there.
Cool.
Like, if you sing a song about your neighborhood on a federal arts website, I think
you should
get
the
$500.
You're right.
Are you saying you're trying to get this program back for us?
That's what I'm trying to do, actually.
You're trying to do that?
Yeah. The way I'm going about it is to not start on the federal level, because I think that's unlikely, because, you know, it's a lot of other things are in serious situation.
Yeah, yeah.
But so I'm saying in New York State, I don't know if you come from New York State or not, but I think we got to focus on our local municipalities to provide some immediate funding. But even still right now, we got to ask ourselves, do you need $500? How badly do you need $500? And I think a lot of people...
Not that badly.
What?
Not that badly.
Okay. So then if you don't need $500 that badly, you could then pass this information about singing a song about your neighborhood to your neighbor who maybe needs money more than you do.
For sure. Yeah, for sure.
Pass the 500 on. That's a good program too.
Yeah, exactly. Pass the 500
on. My question is, how do you distribute all this wealth amongst classic songwriters, really ambitious and industrious songwriting machines, compared to the DIY musician, the jazz musician, the noise musician?
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that the current funding model generally only supports musicians that are from the classical hierarchies. Lady Gaga, exactly. Yeah, Lady Gaga gets all the money, but Gaga doesn't need anything from the U.S. government right now. You and I do.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's pretty hairy.
I think we need to go towards this phrase of cultural worker, where then no one is competing for gigs and popularity when there isn't any anyway.
That's what you see. But then some of us should just – we have friends who straight up just moved to Germany, you know, and or Norway and are getting some of these benefits.
Well, that's an option too. Like, yeah, if in 6 months, caller, you're dissatisfied with the way America is treating you, you might have an opportunity. It might be time to split.
Yeah.
Wait till after the election, because we got to organize on the side of right there, though. So,
okay.
If every DIY and experimental musician in the United States split to Europe or Scandinavia, how many people would be left in the United States? Do you think we'd lose like 10,000 people?
No, maybe about 100.
100 people. 100,000.
Yeah, yeah.
100,000.
No, 100.
100 total.
100 people.
How are you maintaining this isolated time period? Do you have some exercise routines you can share with us?
I've been pickling some cabbage. You know, I've been making some yogurt in my Instant Pot.
Wow.
Oh. With the Instant Pot? You make the yogurt in the Instant Pot?
Oh, yeah. It's got this beautiful overnight setting. 9 hours. You wake up and you have yogurt. Or in my case, yesterday I woke up and I had ricotta cheese.
Do you strain that ricotta? Or does that machine do that for you?
Well, you know what? The funny thing is that the ricotta did not require any straining. It was awfully separated already from the liquid when I woke up. Normally, I have to do a bit of straining.
Oh, this is sick.
Yeah, I would like – I mean, what I would do if I were you when you come back from your life as a person in quarantine like everyone else, I would bring the ricotta to the gigs.
And oh, this is a business opportunity.
Yeah, then you could sell the ricotta cheese at your gigs.
Yeah, that's a good point.
See, we played a show once in Minneapolis with a guy named Raw Space, and Raw Space had foraged wild rice – from like the forest of Minnesota in Minneapolis. And he had all of this like rice that he was selling after his noise set.
Nice.
And we bought some and we quickly figured out that it doesn't cook the same way as a brown rice or a white rice.
White rice. Yeah. Hey, Tom, can we get more callers on the air at a time, or is it just one person at a time?
Just one through the phone line. You could add others to the Facebook or the FaceTiming or something like that.
Oh, okay, but so if other people are calling, they'd be getting
a busy signal now. Yeah.
They might be giants.
Okay, well, let's give them a chance to add their grievances.
Hey,
thank you.
Yeah, thank you for calling. We, stay positive, and we'll hear from you again.
Yeah, bring the ricotta.
Bring the ricotta, exactly.
Thanks.
I'll buy
much.
Some.
Okay, good. Very good.
All right.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Cheers.
See right there, folks. That's some entrepreneurship that you might have to do in the future. That, like, the gig itself isn't the way you make the money. It's that the gig is, like, the place for a barter or a trade or a selling. Maybe you're a weaver. Maybe you make tie-dyed T-shirts. Maybe you make lentil soup, toilet paper.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, another I want to highlight is that your idea there, I think you really helped him come to this ricotta cheese.
Yeah.
Are you talking there? It looks like you're all sped up there.
No, I'm here.
Okay. Your video is opposite to your voice.
Oh, sorry. Don't worry about that.
I thought you were talking. But so, yeah, I think that, you know, if he called to I have to not look at the video screen. If he called if he didn't call, he wouldn't have come to this conclusion. We really helped him.
Yeah.
So I think that's important. Gig Talk helped that individual.
Yes. He's now going to become known as like the ricotta cheese guy on the scene. And that's important. Like maybe someone else will be you got another
call. We got a caller?
You're on the air, caller.
Hey, Dan. It's Gig Talk.
Yes, it's Gig Talk. How you doing?
I'm all right. Then you just realize that the gig might not be the way to make money, that music might not be the money maker, it might be the thing on the side making money. You just realize that?
Yeah. That's the issue is did we make completely the wrong decision in life?
A bit late for that.
No, suggesting is that the gig is now the things you used to do on the side, like make ricotta cheese, you got to bring the ricotta cheese directly to the gig and sell the cheese at the gig.
Right. You guys have heard of King Biscuit Time, right?
King Biscuit Time?
Who's that?
It was a popular radio show in the 30s. King Biscuit was a flour company that made flour for biscuits, King's Biscuit Time. And they had a radio hour lunchtime. And they had the best blues musicians playing. Some great records came out of it. But actually, it was all about selling flour.
Exactly.
It's a model.
It's
a model for the internet in the 21st century. They did it in the 1930s. There you go.
Well, I mean, right, that's what I'm saying is I think we have to look to the 1930s right now where employment was at a zero place and the federal government started employing people again.
Yeah, but do you mean to tell me you just realized that the music's nowhere and it's really all about the T-shirt? You didn't know that before?
Well, that's what I'm wondering is that I think that what's going on is, you know, bringing the ricotta cheese to the gig is one thing, but actually maybe not even going to the gig is another thing. Like becoming a lawyer, you know, going back to school or something. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, well, I think you guys are late adapters. The music is some kind of excuse. It's some kind of loud sound, some kind of shiny object, gets a few people together, and then you sell them a T-shirt and cheese or something. There it is. I got to go now. Good to hear from you.
Okay. Well, stay safe.
We got some opinions there. I think he's got a real point, though. Like a lot of people think in terms of universal safety for their livelihoods, but we did kind of choose this path.
I got to do a PS now because the real purpose of these music events wasn't the music. It was to be in a crowd. That was the purpose, right? That's why you pay $65 or something. Or so
well, no, that's
crowd.
True. I mean, in the improvised music community, I think there's a lot of audience of people that otherwise feel they are antisocial people. And
yeah, well, they wanted to be in small crowds. That's why they go for that kind of music, very small crowds.
Yes.
It's not the music. It's all what size crowd you want to be in. And that's going to change now. So we got to look out. I got to go.
Okay. Bye. Well, thank you. So, yeah, 518-622-2598. Call us. Tell us how you're doing on Gig Life on WGXC 90.7 or Wavefarm on the internet, wavefarm.org. And, yeah, 518-622-2598. But
this is Gig Talk right here.
That caller brings up that great question of should we have been playing gigs even in the first place?
Yeah, that's what I wonder because I often think of that. That's what I mean. You know, if you're gigging, that's one thing, but it does create it's an opportunity for all of us to start developing some other skills or maybe getting into let's invest. You know, let's buy some investment books and learn how to buy stocks at a lower rate and then hold on to those for a few years and see what. Let's like move beyond our.
Let's learn to compost. Let's start putting our organic matter back in the earth.
Well, I'm doing that, but that's not making me any money.
No, but it could, that organic compost could make you money in the future when the vegetables that you're going to bring to the gig because of your compost are going to pay you more than your hot drum solo.
Well, but in New York, you have to. It's getting to the point where composting is you do that in New York, so
yeah,
it's not like.
But I'm saying if you start,
it's not a unique thing to do.
No, that's true. I'm just trying to find like the opportunities for you to bring new things to the gig. Like it's almost like the gig itself is just like as our caller was saying, it's the social place. But I think in the future, the gig is going to be the marketplace, where everyone's going to be hawking something different. One person's got jewelry, another person's like going to do nails.
This is like a Grateful Dead like trailer park like the out, what do they call it?
The parking lot. Yeah.
The parking lot, yeah.
Yeah, even at little gigs of 10 people or less, we're going to have, you know, everyone at the gig is going to have something for sale. And you know, that's why Bandcamp these days, a week ago, did something kind of positive for the community of musicians.
Yeah, people are doing nice things, like Bandcamp and a couple music apps made them free for all of us to, you know, create new content. But I'm just wondering if the content we're creating is worthy of, you know, the people buying, investing in. That's all I'm trying to say. So if you want to make your content more worthy, I think you also have to, at the same time, develop some new skills, like Prince or something. You know, did Prince play drums? Yeah. Did he play guitar? Yeah. Did he play some horns? Yeah. Did he compose? Yeah. Did he produce? Yeah. You know, we can't just sit here and like show up at the gig playing a snare drum and some brushes anymore.
Let's think
outside the box. You know, like I'll be showing up with a snare drum doing the brushes, but I'll be DJing the gig. You know, in the meantime, I'll be on my phone at an online class. You know, I'll be learning Japanese. You know. I'll be at home. I'll come home and do some short selling, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is an opportunity to develop some new skills so that if this situation comes up again, because we can't rely on the government either to bail us out, you know, for people like us.
What, musicians you're talking about?
Yeah, the improvised experimental community in the United States.
Well, like up until this point, I'm saying in the last 70, 80 years, the government has failed artists, but I'm saying I think we can return to believing in the government. I mean, not, of course, in this federal moment of stupidity of who's in charge, but the future of a possibility of, I don't know, something else.
Yeah, I know. I have hope. I got hope, but I'm just saying it's if that happens, won't it, you know, I don't see that happening tomorrow or like
but
this
to
next
me,
year.
I hear you, but otherwise, like the way Bandcamp and these other things are sort of, they're circular firing squads, because I maybe spent $40 on Bandcamp last week, and I made about $40 on Bandcamp last week. So money in, money out. It's not like the federal government bought my record.
Well, that's what happens to the is that me? That's what happens to the bartenders. And, you know, people go out and then they make tip money, and then they go out late at night until 4 a.m. and they spend all that money with friends, you know. People aren't making money. We're just spending money. And we need to find out other ways to make this money. And I'm not saying I'm going to go become a stripper, but that's, you know, let's just face it. If I start working out and I got that bod, there might be some like mid-40s strip club that I can work at for $5.99 individual.
Yeah, that could be a possibility. I mean, like Patrick Swayze did it on Saturday Night Live. He was successful.
How tall is that guy?
I mean, he was about 5'8".
See, that's what I'm saying. How tall is Johnny Depp?
Yeah, like Johnny Depp. I don't know how tall he is. But, hey, it's 518-622-2598. You should be calling in if you're sending me a text right now. I don't want to get a private text. I want to hear your voice on the radio. So 518-622-2598.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
Welcome to Gig Talk. How can we help you?
You told me to call.
Colin, yeah. What's up? What you doing?
Sitting around looking at the world in my room.
Do you find that's the best way to what's the most positive thing you did today in terms of passing the time that maybe some other people might learn from and find inspiring?
I ran around on a big field and kicked a soccer ball as hard as I could.
Oh, that's fun.
When you kicked the soccer ball, were you cognizant that you weren't going to kick it towards someone else?
I was kicking it to somebody else, but they were 100 feet away.
Oh, okay. So you were employing social distancing.
Yes.
Okay.
Highly, thoroughly. And then I did some recording. Made a ferocious, horrific sound in my at home. It was very refreshing.
Yeah,
what
that's
are you recording?
Oh, just like metal and junk and, you know, feedback and...
Can we hear a little over the phone?
Let's get a little, like, breaking news live from
here. Let's see what happens.
A little 20-second taste. Oh, yeah.
Mm.
That's good. That's spacious. That's all.
Do you hear now?
Yeah, that sounded great.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But here's a good question. If you're used to making records in a studio or rehearsal room or just live at the gig, how does it change when you're making it at your home?
Well, I don't record in studios usually, but it's weird being at home because I have this thing, even though I like to play loud at home, I don't like to play too loud, and so I'm a little, like, cautious. But it's been fun limitation to challenge to try something new and work without a big PA system and then just kind of figure out how to set up my room, which is like, you know, it's not like a six-foot folding table where I – know where to put everything and how much space I need. It's like I'm using my desk, which has these pull-out surfaces, and it's like a, it's more like a, you know, a spaceship.
So you got a spaceship vibe. So that's
I'm working
kind of
on my spaceship.
Whole,
yeah, yeah,
yeah, the, yeah. Because like that's the I appreciate that you're a conscientious person and not playing at max volume in your house.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta, and you, what you just heard, it's pretty fucking loud in here.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
What have you had any problem? Have you had any lost opportunities, lost work through all this?
A little bit, but not a lot, luckily, at this point.
But like aren't you like the organizer of a major festival that was about to happen in New York City?
I don't know if it's major, but yes, I was an I'm an organizer of a festival that got postponed. But luckily, there's only been two refunds, and everyone just said, you know, I was like, "You can, your tickets are good when we restage it," and people are happy with that. So,
oh wow, that's great. Do you have any idea when you're going to try to redo it?
Probably like October, just because I kind of hate booking like shows in the summer. And also, who knows how long this damn thing is going to go on.
Yeah. Do you think right now October is the next week?
I mean, it could be, but I also have, like, long looked at, like, October as, like, just, you know, April and October to me are kind of ideal times for...
Totally.
...doing shows. And
yeah.
It's good time to tour, so I think people will be on the road, but...
Yeah, because one summer, I mean, what's the sweatiest summer gig you ever played?
I don't know. Let's see. I'm not thinking anything right now. Sweatiest. Yeah, I tend to avoid.
Would the sweatiest summer gig be like in a basement still, or would it be directly in the sun on a stage that was like tarped with a plastic Mylar?
Yeah, something like that.
Todd P. circa 2003?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of, like, I usually kind of take chill out in the summer, but I know I played in the summer a couple times, and it's just, like, it's not really that remarkable. It's not remarkably sweaty. Sorry, Matt.
Okay. I mean, I've been on some sweaty stages in the summer, and that feeling when that tarp is plastic... And the sun at 2 p.m. is melting over you. I've also been on some stages that have almost fallen apart in the summer.
I know. I remember, like, in 2007, I did a U.S. tour, and it was in the winter, and we had snowstorms in Maine and Brooklyn, and then we ended up down in Miami, And it was like, thank God the air conditioning is on at midnight. So that's the closest I've come to being temperature sensitive around a gig.
What about the wintertime has its own – sometimes you play that steamy gig in the winter. You get so hot even though it's a freezing room and you get that steam coming off your body.
Certainly, certainly. But usually – I don't know. Usually venues aren't necessarily that hot, right? You know, like offices are hot in the winter, and like subway can be hot, and subway car, not the station. But,
well, do you, here's one last question, because then I know we have another caller or two that want to call up. Do you, but just quickly, do you think gig culture is going to come back the same way? Or is it going to be new and improved or different?
Dude, I don't know. It's definitely something's going to come back for sure. You know, there's no way to stop it. But I don't know. I just see a lot of changes about individuals are going to maybe they're going to chase the opportunity to play for their friends, to create new work, to inspire people. They're also going to be a little more cautious maybe about their money and their finances. I think the government is going to be like more into like being concerned about how people are getting paid and unemployment and stuff. It's like a long trend we've seen with nonprofit art spaces in the city and the way the Department of Labor is going after them. I totally think it's going to be going, they're going to be going after clubs and stuff too. And, you know, in the end, if people like are better protected when times, things like this happen, then, you know, I'm like open to it because so many people we know are so screwed, you know.
Yeah. So we're saying that possibly right now that we're all sacrificing, there's a hopeful opportunity of better gigs down the rainbow.
Yeah. I mean,
over the rainbow.
There's going to be, there's going to be plenty of gigs down the rainbow.
Cool. Well, hey, thanks.
That's
Bob.
A positive. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Cheers.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's a good thought. And we've got 5 minutes left on the show. So if you want to get your one chat in, 518-622-2598. It's nice to hear that people are thinking there's going to be some positive gigs over the rainbow.
Yeah, and also, yeah, call it, stuff that last call in. Stuff it in.
But I'm going to sing that song, like, somewhere.
We've got another caller. You're on the air.
Over the rainbow.
We got a call.
Oh.
Hey.
What's up? How you doing?
What's up, Kevin? It's Maya.
Oh, what's going on? What you doing?
What's going on? I'm in my room. I can't leave.
Oh, are you? Can you go around the rest of the apartment or only...
No, that's sure. Yeah, I can because both my roommates left and I have the whole place to myself. I'm still in New York.
Well, that's nice. See, that's one of the situations. Like, I did the same thing. I left my house in New York City so my roommate could have some space.
That's really nice of you. I'm taking shits with the door open. It's awesome,
no cursing.
It's like amazing. It's amazing to be here alone. You know, the circumstances suck, but it's the best that I could be, I guess, you know?
And you were someone that I could run into without ever actually, like, having to communicate that we were going to be in the same place. Why was
yeah.
that?
Great minds think alike. I don't know.
Yeah, but there was, like, a way that if you were in the scene of gigs, you just kind of went to gigs, right? It didn't matter how you found out about it. You just had to sniff it, right?
I sniffed it out good. I sniffed it out. And it's really, really confusing for me to not be able to go to a gig right now.
Yeah.
Because live music, live performance keeps me alive, keeps me wanting more. So I'm...
So what have you done to supplement that those desires in your daily routines?
That's a really good question. I'm trying to develop a routine just to feel some groundedness. I try to dabble in music making and drawing or just, you know, stretching and moving my body as much as I can. But it's really easy to get distracted, you know, because it's a lot of stuff going on. So it's almost like not really a fertile time to. I mean, I don't want to be thinking about. I don't know. I guess I'm always going to be making something, creating something. But it's not exactly the time where I feel like I feel kind of like a little spooked out, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any confidence that what this government bill that just got passed is going to help a person like yourself as an independent contractor?
No. I'm screwed in all of the ways. I pretty much don't exist. I don't have any stability at all. I just live a freelance contract work life. So it's
Well, we'll see how the weeks turn, but I really do hope that freelancers in our community are going to be able to get some funding via the government in this. But yeah, don't hold your breath either on that one, unless you know how to circular breathe.
I just try to expect the worst. I don't know. I've been able to do that.
Well, that's a good challenge for the next episode. If you can circular breathe on your instrument until you get your next check, keep going.
And teach the rest of us too.
Yeah. But so, Moya, thank you for calling. We're going to sign off on the air because it's been Gig Talk live on WGXC 90.7 FM and Wavefarm. I think we'll be back next Thursday, right, Tom?
Yes, next Thursday at 8.
Okay.
All right. Gig Talk. Gig 2020. Talk.
2020. See you in the future.
See you all. Yeah, the theme, yeah.
Gig talk.
Gig talk.
Gig talk.
Yeah.
Gig talk.
Gig talk.